Carl Wester and Company presents... The Mad Hatterfield. The Mad Hatterfields, the story of a wild, dashing, daring, exciting, and talented family of artists living their unconventional and hilarious lives together in the penthouse that has been their family home for many years. We're asking you to listen to this audition of The Mad Hatterfields because we believe that here is a feature that is destined to become one of the top evening programs on the networks. 2.5 years on radio station WLW on both afternoon and evening periods has established conclusively that The Mad Hatterfields has what it takes to entertain listeners of all ages, to command a fond attachment of listeners for the characters, and to build up a loyal listener interest and enthusiasm that grows with every broadcast. Previously, this program was presented as a quarter-hour feature, but the general character of the show, our observation of listener response, and the opinions of some of the best minds in radio have convinced us that in this new form, as a half-hour evening program, The Mad Hatterfields will reach its peak in high entertainment value as a program for every member of the family. Pauline Hopkins, the authoress, and Owen Vinson, the director, conceived, revised, and molded the program for more than 3 years before presenting it to the public. Miss Hopkins is recognized as one of the leading writers in radio today. She has contributed to most of the outstanding programs, including First Nighter, Grand Hotel, Behind the Camera Lines, and many others. At present, she is writing her own highly successful program, Midstream, and the Carl Wester and Company presentation, The Woman in White, both of which are broadcast 5 days weekly over NBC networks. Mr. Vinson brings to the Mad Hatterfields years of experience on both stage and radio as both actor and director. He has directed this program from its inception. As to the characters in the program, hearing them is the quickest and the surest way to know them. And we believe that, like the listeners who've heard them, the more you hear them, the more you will love them. So now, The Mad Hatterfields. As we join the Hatterfields, it is midday. It's a typical Hatterfield scene. Meg Hatterfield, the youngest daughter, and Caleb, the self-appointed butler, are in the living room attending to household duties, while in her beloved music room, Mama Hatterfield is vocalizing in a desperate effort to save a failing voice.
Oh, I wish Mama would stop.
I believe Mrs. Hatterfield is in better voice this morning, Miss Meg.
I don't know, Caleb. Maybe I haven't an artist's temperament.
And a good thing, too, Miss Meg. There aren't enough artists in this family now.
Caleb, sometimes I wonder what it would be like to be as famous and glamorous as the others.
I understand. I used to wonder the same thing when I was a super in the opera.
You did?
Night after night, I'd walk on stage carrying a spear, singing along with 100 other voices.
Uh-huh.
And I'd wondered what it would be like to stand apart from the chorus, to sing a solo role.
Oh, the door. I'll go. You fix Mama's lunch.
Yes, Miss Meg, I will.
Uh-huh, I'm coming. Oh, hello.
Hello. I'm John Edwards.
John Edwards. Are you one of Rita's friends?
No,
or Raleigh's fencing instructor?
No, but you
I
see...
know Mama's new accompanist.
Well,
if you are Mama's new accompanist, please, please, please try not to upset her.
Well, I promise.
You see, Mama gets so excited, and it's bad for her heart.
But I'm nothing so important as an accompanist. I'm a writer. John Edwards.
Oh, John Edwards, of course. I read your latest novel and that article on Russian. Oh, but come on in.
Thank you.
Oh, before we go in the living room, I'd better warn you.
Warn me?
If you hear someone yowling, that's Mama practicing her scale, so don't let it upset you.
All right, I won't.
And if a man rushes in tearing his hair and using vile language, that's only Raleigh. Raleigh's always wild before breakfast.
Well, why not serve him breakfast in bed? It might save a lot of wear and tear.
We tried it once, but it didn't work. Caleb, Caleb says he's the butler.
Yes.
Caleb's been with us for years. He used to be Papa's dresser in opera.
And after your father's death, Caleb remained with the family, is that it?
Uh-huh. Well, anyway, Caleb tried serving Raleigh breakfast in bed, but Raleigh's such a pig. Did you ever try washing egg out of pillow slips?
Never.
Don't. It's messy.
Anyone else to warn me against?
Oh, yes. Rita. Rita's a darling. But she will fall in love with every handsome man she meets.
And that leaves me out.
Oh, I don't know. You're not bad looking.
Thanks.
I think it's much nicer to be quietly good looking than vulgarly handsome.
Do you?
Well, here we are. This is the living room.
Say, this is a charming penthouse.
Oh, won't you sit down?
Well, thanks.
Oh, no, no, not there. Rita just painted that chair.
Yeah, so I've discovered.
Rita's experimenting to get a certain shade of reddish brown.
So she paints the chairs?
Uh-huh. Mama told her to help herself to everything but the piano.
Well, see here, I haven't told you what I came for.
Oh, I can guess. You want to write an article on the Hatterfield family.
That's it.
Well, what do you want to know?
Naturally, I know all about Mama Hatterfield, the most famous figure in opera for the last 20 years.
30? Mama's been singing her farewell performance for 10 years.
Then Rita Hatterfield, her daughter, is a famous portrait painter.
That's right. She's next to the oldest. Raleigh comes first.
Oh, yes, Roland Hatterfield, Broadway's most famous Shakespearean actor.
America's most famous Shakespearean actor. Don't make that mistake in front of Raleigh.
All right, I'll be careful.
And then there's Oliver. He's the youngest.
And a cellist. Is that right?
Uh-huh. Oliver went to Switzerland to study cello, and then the war broke out, and since then he hasn't been able to get home.
Oh, that's too bad. So you see, I can place them all, except you.
Oh, gosh, I'm the least important. Even Caleb the butler's better known. I'm Meg.
Meg?
Marguerite. You know, after the heroine in Faust. I came between Rita and Oliver.
It's strange that I haven't heard about you.
Oh, but I'm not famous. Mama thinks it's...
Carl Wester and Company presents... The Mad Hatterfield. The Mad Hatterfields, the story of a wild, dashing, daring, exciting, and talented family of artists living their unconventional and hilarious lives together in the penthouse that has been their family home for many years. We're asking you to listen to this audition of The Mad Hatterfields because we believe that here is a feature that is destined to become one of the top evening programs on the networks. 2.5 years on radio station WLW on both afternoon and evening periods has established conclusively that The Mad Hatterfields has what it takes to entertain listeners of all ages, to command a fond attachment of listeners for the characters, and to build up a loyal listener interest and enthusiasm that grows with every broadcast. Previously, this program was presented as a quarter-hour feature, but the general character of the show, our observation of listener response, and the opinions of some of the best minds in radio have convinced us that in this new form, as a half-hour evening program, The Mad Hatterfields will reach its peak in high entertainment value as a program for every member of the family. Pauline Hopkins, the authoress, and Owen Vinson, the director, conceived, revised, and molded the program for more than 3 years before presenting it to the public. Miss Hopkins is recognized as one of the leading writers in radio today. She has contributed to most of the outstanding programs, including First Nighter, Grand Hotel, Behind the Camera Lines, and many others. At present, she is writing her own highly successful program, Midstream, and the Carl Wester and Company presentation, The Woman in White, both of which are broadcast 5 days weekly over NBC networks. Mr. Vinson brings to the Mad Hatterfields years of experience on both stage and radio as both actor and director. He has directed this program from its inception. As to the characters in the program, hearing them is the quickest and the surest way to know them. And we believe that, like the listeners who have heard them, the more you hear them, the more you will love them. So now, the Mad Hatterfields. As we join the Hatterfields, it is midday. It's a typical Hatterfield scene. Meg Hatterfield, the youngest daughter, and Caleb, the self-appointed butler, are in the living room attending to household duties, while in her beloved music room, Mama Hatterfield is vocalizing in a desperate effort to save a failing voice.
Oh, I wish Mama would stop.
I believe Mrs. Hatterfield is in better voice this morning, Miss Meg.
I don't know, Caleb. Maybe I haven't an artist's temperament.
And a good thing, too, Miss Meg. There aren't enough artists in this family now.
Caleb, sometimes I wonder what it would be like to be as famous and glamorous as the others.
I understand. I used to wonder the same thing when I was a super in the opera.
You did?
Night after night, I'd walk on stage carrying a spear, singing along with 100 other voices.
Uh-huh.
And I'd wondered what it would be like to stand apart from the chorus, to sing a solo role.
Oh, the door. I'll go. You fix Mama's lunch.
Yes, Miss Meg, I will.
Uh-huh, I'm coming. Oh, hello.
Hello. I'm John Edwards.
John Edwards. John Edwards. Are you one of Rita's friends?
No,
or Raleigh's fencing instructor?
No, but you
I know Mama's new accompanist.
Well,
if you are Mama's new accompanist, please, please, please try not to upset her.
Oh, I promise.
You see, Mama gets so excited, and it's bad for her heart.
But I'm nothing so important as an accompanist. I'm a writer. John Edwards.
John Edwards. Oh, John Edwards, of course. I read your latest novel and that article on Russian. Oh, but come on in.
Thank you.
Oh, before we go in the living room, I'd better warn you.
Warn me?
If you hear someone yowling, that's Mama practicing her scale, so don't let it upset you.
All right, I won't.
And if a man rushes in tearing his hair and using vile language, that's only Raleigh. Raleigh's always wild before breakfast.
Well, why not serve him breakfast in bed? It might save a lot of wear and tear.
We tried it once, but it didn't work. Caleb, Caleb says he's the butler.
Yes.
Caleb's been with us for years. He used to be Papa's dresser in opera.
And after your father's death, Caleb remained with the family, is that it?
Uh-huh. Well, anyway, Caleb tried serving Raleigh breakfast in bed, but Raleigh's such a pig. Did you ever try washing egg out of pillow slips?
Never.
Don't. It's messy.
Anyone else to warn me against?
Oh, yes. Rita. Rita's a darling. But she will fall in love with every handsome man she meets.
And that leaves me out.
Oh, I don't know. You're not bad looking.
Thanks.
I think it's much nicer to be quietly good looking than vulgarly handsome.
Do you?
Well, here we are. This is the living room.
Say, this is a charming penthouse.
Oh, won't you sit down?
Oh, thanks.
Oh, no, no, not there. Rita just painted that chair.
Yeah. So I've discovered.
Rita's experimenting to get a certain shade of reddish brown.
So she paints the chairs?
Uh-huh. Mama told her to help herself to everything but the piano.
Well, see here, I haven't told you what I came for.
Oh, I can guess. You want to write an article on the Hatterfield family.
That's it.
Well, what do you want to know?
Naturally, I know all about Mama Hatterfield, the most famous figure in opera for the last 20 years.
30? Mama's been singing her farewell performance for 10 years.
Then Rita Hatterfield, her daughter, is a famous portrait painter.
That's right. She's next to the oldest. Raleigh comes first.
Oh, yes, Roland Hatterfield, Broadway's most famous Shakespearean actor.
America's most famous Shakespearean actor. Don't make that mistake in front of Raleigh.
All right, I'll be careful.
And then there's Oliver. He's the youngest.
And the cellist. Is that right?
Uh-huh. Oliver went to Switzerland to study cello, and then the war broke out, and since then he hasn't been able to get home.
Oh, that's too bad. So you see, I can place them all, except you.
Oh, gosh, I'm the least important. Even Caleb the butler's better known. I'm Meg.
Meg?
Marguerite. You know, after the heroine in Faust. I came between Rita and Oliver.
It's strange that I haven't heard about you.
Oh, but I'm not famous. Mama thinks it's because I was born while she was touring in Faust. Mama thinks Faust is second rate.
Well, there's certainly nothing second rate about you. Your hair. Your eyes.
Oh, I didn't mean my looks, Mr. Edwards. They're all right. I meant my talents.
But Miss Hatterfield...
You better call me Meg. Everyone does.
And you'll call me John?
Well, if you're going to ask me all about the family skeletons, it'll be easier telling it to John than Mr. Edwards. Oh, Mama started again. She's coming in here. Now, be sure to tell her she looks young.
I'll remember.
Meg, where's my accompanist? And where's my masseur? And why don't we have lunch?
Mama, this is John Edwards. You know the writer? He's going to do an article on the family.
Oh, he is? Well, young man, just remember that I'm 51 and not 53, as the newspapers print.
Well, you look 40.
Well, did you hear that, Meg? The young man has either good judgment or he's a terrible liar. Where's lunch?
Caleb will serve you on the sun porch.
Ask Meg anything you want to know about the Hatterfields, Mr. Edwards. Spaghetti for lunch, Meg?
Now, Mama, your diet.
Diet? Diet? I'm a singer, not a Hollywood actress.
Caleb's fixing some swell spinach for you.
Spinach? Do you think I can sing arias on spinach?
Now, Mama.
I can't argue. I'm hungry. I'm starved. Young man, I'll be back to talk to you later.
Oh, she's great.
Uh-huh.
But haven't you ever tried to develop a talent?
Oh, it didn't take. And then I have so much to do. Last year, Rita was commissioned to paint the portrait of one of the members of a royal family.
Really?
Well, naturally, I had to go abroad with her.
Why?
I told you Rita falls in love with every good-looking man. And Mama wasn't sure whether or not the king was handsome.
Oh, I see. So you're peacemaker, manager, and general nursemaid to your famous family, huh?
Well, there has to be one in every family.
Great Caesar's ghost, Meg, I ask you. What kind of a house is this? Look at the dark rings under my eyes. Look how sunken my cheeks. Why wasn't I served breakfast in my room?
Because you locked the bedroom door and Caleb couldn't get in.
But why didn't he break it down?
The last time he did that, the manager asked us as a special favor never to do it again.
He gave you a pass key, didn't he?
Yes, but you threw it out the window.
Well, great Caesar's ghost, why stand there arguing? Why don't you get me breakfast? Can't you see how pale I am? How will I ever be able to do a matinee for the guild?
It doesn't matter if you are pale. You're playing Hamlet.
Hamlet. Hamlet.
Raleigh.
To be or not to be,
Raleigh,
that is the question.
Before you start on Hamlet,
whether it is noble
this is
in the
John
mind,
Edwards,
some of the
writer. How do you do,
Mr.
outrageous
Hatterfield?
Fortune. How do you do? Or to take arms against a sea of troubles.
Raleigh.
And by opposing
your manners are terrible.
To die, to sleep no more.
You might at least stop and shake
to
hands.
To say we end the heartache and the thousand natural shocks.
Raleigh.
Don't bother him, mate.
Is a consummation divinely to me wish. To die, to sleep.
Raleigh.
To sleep, perchance to dream.
Raleigh.
Aye,
he's going to do
rum.
An article on the Hatterfield family.
Hey, what's that? An article? He is. Well, why didn't you say so? Mr. Edwards, you may tell my public that I am honoring the guild with a few revivals, because I have not yet found the proper vehicle to do on Broadway.
You'd better have your breakfast, Raleigh.
My breakfast? That's right. Where is it?
Caleb will serve you as soon as Mama's had lunch.
Oh, Meg, be a good scout and let me have some money until Saturday.
I can't. We played poker last night. Mama cleaned me.
But, Meg, my fencing teacher will be here soon. He won't give me another lesson until I pay some on account.
But, Raleigh, I haven't any money.
I say, old man, do you happen to have
Raleigh, don't you dare ask Mr. Edwards.
Why not?
Yes, why not? There you are, Mr. Hatterfield. I can spare you a 10 spot.
$10. Well, it isn't enough, but thanks anyway. And now I must tell Caleb about breakfast. For in that sleep of death, what dreams may come when we are shuffled off.
I'm awfully ashamed.
Oh, please don't be.
But what does she think of the Hatterfields?
That the next to the youngest is one of the sweetest girls I've ever met.
That's what I like about authors. They can say nice things like that without any effort.
I'd be able to say nice things to you if I were a plumber.
Meg, I'm late. I have an appointment. Dig up some taxi fare, will you?
I haven't any money, Rita.
Well, find some. Hurry, will you?
This is John Edwards, the author. My sister, Rita Hatterfield.
Hello. Have you $5?
Rita, Raleigh just borrowed from him.
He did, the pig.
Oh, here's $5, Miss Hatterfield.
Rita, don't take it.
Tend to your own affairs, Meg. Thanks, Mr. Edwards. Perhaps we can have dinner some evening.
I'd be honored.
That's right. Pay him back the $5 and make him spend $10 on you for dinner.
Don't mind Meg, Mr. Edwards. She's mercenary.
Young man, I'm bringing my spaghetti in here so we can talk.
Oh, that's splendid, Mrs. Hatterfield.
Well, people, I must run along. See you later.
Now then, Mr. Edwards, sit next to me on the couch.
Swell.
Excuse me, John. I want to see Rita for a moment.
Well, go right ahead.
Well, Mr. Edwards, what do you want to know about us? I suppose we
Rita.
Know all about my career.
Rita.
What do you want?
Rita, where are you going?
To see Nicky Powers, and you can't stop me.
Oh, Rita, you promised you'd give him up.
Now, don't lecture. I'm just going to have lunch with the man.
Mama would be heartbroken.
Just because the man's been married once or twice.
3 times.
I don't care. I like Nicky Powers. And you and the precious family can mind your own business.
I know you don't want me to interfere. But, Rita, I've always thought you were so... well, so fine and straight.
Oh, hearts and flowers.
I mean it.
Listen, darling, I'm not getting any younger. I want to try everything while I still have my teeth and figure.
But Rita...
Nicky Powers is exciting. Nicky Powers is different, and I like him.
He's dangerous.
You baby. That's why Rita's on his trail. Well, keep the home fires burning.
Oh, gosh.
Meg! Meg!
Yes, Raleigh?
Oh, here you are. Meg, Caleb hasn't served my breakfast yet.
Be patient, Raleigh.
Rita leave?
Just now.
What's the matter, youngster? What's up?
She has a date with that Dornick Powers the Third.
Nicky Powers? Well, why so down on the mouth?
Raleigh, you know what Mama thinks of him. She'd be terribly upset if she heard about this date.
Then we'll keep it from her.
I guess we better. Well, come on. Mr. Edwards will want you to answer some questions about yourself.
There's nothing I'd enjoy more.
And that's what Caruso said to me.
Very interesting, Mrs. Hatterfield.
Well, has Mama been boring you with that old story about Caruso, Mr. Edwards?
Hold your tongue, young man.
Now, Mama, don't get on your high horse.
You're a Shakespearean actor and a matinee idol, but you're not too old to take over my knees and spank.
Mama, you're being conventional.
I beg your pardon, Miss May.
Yes, Caleb?
Did you know that Miss Rita left a note for you?
A note?
Why, she was just here.
Caleb, I was talking to her a few minutes ago.
Nevertheless, Miss Rita left a note pinned to the pillow of her bed.
Good old Rita. She has a real sense of the theater.
Let me have it, Caleb.
I don't understand. Rita was just here.
Oh, gosh.
Meg, what is it?
Meg, don't stand there with your mouth open.
Rita's going to elope.
Elope?
With Nicky Powers.
Oh, no, no. Someone stop her, quick. Don't let her do it.
Now, Mama, please.
Raleigh, you've got to go after her.
Rita doesn't know what she's doing. We must save
Mama,
her.
Mama, you'll be ill.
Raleigh, you must stop Rita. Tell her I'm dying.
But where can I find her?
They must be having lunch first.
That's right. Miss Rita hasn't had anything to eat today.
And Rita wouldn't elope on an empty stomach.
She usually meets that Mr. Powers at his club.
His club? Good. Meg, you look after Mama.
I will, Raleigh.
Caleb, you prepare my breakfast.
Very good, Mr. Raleigh.
John, you come along with me.
All right, if you wish.
Yes, because you have to pay for the taxi.
Raleigh.
Never mind, Meg. I'm getting swell material for my article.
Well, I certainly hope you have an expense account.
I have.
Fine, then we'll stop and have breakfast first.
You'll do nothing of the sort. Go find that girl.
Yes, Raleigh, get to read in time.
Hurry, oh, Raleigh.
Please, no, please, Mr. Raleigh.
Very well, very well. Come along, John. Come
I'm
on.
Right with you.
Oh, but this too solid flesh with milk. Or resolve itself into a dew. Come on, John.
Hamlet. Act 1, Scene 2, Line 129.
Now that you have met the Hatterfields, let me tell you something about the men and women who play the parts. The cast you heard is the cast that has been playing the show since it first went on the air. In the role of Mama Hatterfield, you hear Bess McCammon. Mrs. McCammon came to the program with a wealth of stage experience and teaching behind her. A widow with two grown sons, by marked coincidence, her life and the life of Mama Hatterfield are strangely parallel. Raleigh is played by William Green, whose stage experience covers many years with some of the finest actors in the world, including supporting roles with Ethel Barrymore, Edna Hibbard, Preston Foster, Guy Bates Post, and many others on the New York stage. Betty Arnold, who plays Rita Hatterfield, also came to radio from the stage, where she was a signal success in many difficult roles. Meg Hatterfield is played by the authoress, Pauline Hopkins. Miss Hopkins has appeared on the stage since she was a girl in her early teens, winning important parts in the stiffest of competition, and bringing to this program a wealth of understanding of the theater. Caleb is played by Harry Cansdale, a stage veteran of some 40 years' experience. In the field of character men, Mr. Cansdale is probably the best equipped of any actor in the country to be Caleb. The role of John Edwards is played by Ken Griffin, also from the stage and one of the most prominent leading men in radio today. Of interest to prospective sponsors who wish to use the photographs of the cast for publicity purposes, let me say that the cast has been chosen for physical fitness for their parts as well as for voice. Besides the stage experience, every performer in the cast has had from 5 to 15 years of radio experience. Now, back to the Mad Hatterfield. About an hour has passed since Raleigh dashed off to find Rita. An impatient Mama and a comforting Meg are waiting for his return.
Now, Mama, darling, please stop worrying. Raleigh's gone after Rita.
When did Rita ever listen to Raleigh? Oh, she's so headstrong, so impulsive.
Mama, if you keep this up, you're going to be ill. Here are your white pills.
I don't want them.
Two of them.
I tell you, I won't take them.
Don't squirm.
Meg, I...
Open your mouth.
But I...
That's the way. Now close it. Swallow. Oh, don't make such a face. Here's water. There. Now, you'll be all right in a minute.
Oh, I'm all right now. I'm as strong as a horse.
Well.
You treat me like a child.
Now, Mama, lie back on the couch and rest.
Rest. I, Mama Hatterfield.
I know, darling. It's tough.
Come here, Meg.
Hmm?
At least once a day, I thank God that you take after your papa. He was such a kind, patient man.
Uh-huh.
A remarkable man. Married to me for years. And not once did he beat me.
Oh, Mama.
You're just like your papa.
I'd rather look like you.
That's because you don't remember him. He was the finest man that ever drew a breath. Come here, Meg. I want you to kiss me.
Oh, Mama, darling.
That's enough, that's enough. I said one kiss. Stop slobbering. Are you trying to make me cry?
No, darling, of course not.
You know I hate sentiment in the morning. It upsets my stomach.
Oh, Caleb's fixing you a second lunch.
Good.
I told him you weren't able to finish your first one.
Because of Rita. Oh, Meg, what are we going to do about that girl?
I should have guessed she was up to something.
How could you have known?
Well, when I talked to her, I caught a whiff of her $25 perfume. That should have told me it was a special date.
Meg, there's only one way to get Rita to give up that stupid playboy, Nicky Powers.
How?
By seeing to it that she falls in love with another man.
Oh?
It's always easy for Rita to fall out of love, providing there's someone close by with whom she can fall in love.
Well, it's an idea. Maybe we can think of someone.
Oh, Mrs. Hatfield, at luncheon.
Well, Caleb, it's about time.
Put the tray right here on the coffee table, Caleb.
Very good, Miss May. Oh, I'm so worried about Mr. Raleigh.
Raleigh? Rita's the one who's trying to elope.
But Mr. Raleigh hasn't had his breakfast. Oh, my.
Oh, Caleb, never mind that.
But he should have his breakfast, Miss Meg. It isn't right.
Caleb, what's this stuff?
That's a salad, Mama.
Yes, Mrs. Hatterfield, a salad.
Salad.
It looks delicious.
It's one of my latest recipes.
Caleb, what's in it?
Well, I call it Salad Supreme, a la Henry VIII's third wife.
It looks terrible.
Did you create the recipe, Caleb?
Oh, no. It isn't original. I found it in this morning's paper.
Then stop reading the papers.
I'm sure you'll enjoy it, Mrs. Hatterfield.
Caleb, the very next time I find you cutting out recipes from the paper, I shall cut your wages.
Very good, Mrs. Hatterfield.
How can you cut his wages? He hasn't been paid in months.
Then I'll cut his throat. Here, take this stuff away.
I'll tell you what, Mama. I'll see what there is in the icebox.
Yes, Meg, do that.
I'll be back in a minute.
Well, Caleb, why so glum? Are you hurt because I won't eat this awful stuff?
I was thinking of Mr. Raleigh. I do wish he'd taken time for breakfast. It spoils his entire day when he misses breakfast. Oh, dear.
Raleigh doesn't worry me. Oh, but I wish I could say the same for Rita.
I know how you feel, Mrs. Hatterfield.
Caleb, if he were here, he'd know how to handle her.
You mean if Papa Hatterfield was still alive?
It's been so many years since his death. Why can't I become accustomed to it, Caleb? Why do I still miss him?
Now.
I suppose it's because I feel that Papa's still here in this penthouse. Do you feel it too, Caleb?
I feel it too.
Can you hear his voice? Teasing me for having lost my temper. Coaxing me into a better humor.
I hear his voice.
And his plans for the future. For the children. For Raleigh and Rita. Meg and Oliver. Do you remember how his eyes sparkled when he spoke of them?
I remember.
And at the end, his last words to me. Don't let them tell you I'm dying, Olivia. I can never die. I'll always live in them.
Those were his words.
He hasn't died, Caleb. Papa is here with me.
Oh, there's someone at the door.
Caleb, I'll get the door.
Very good, Miss Meg.
Meg, if that's Rita, send her to me at once. Do you understand?
Okay, Mama, I will. Oh, John.
That's right, back again.
But where's Raleigh? And did you find...
First, let me come in. What do you say?
Oh, of course.
Thank you. Now, don't worry, Meg. Everything's fine.
You mean...
Yes, we found Rita and Nicky. I got rid of Nicky and left Raleigh with Rita.
But where are they?
Oh, I'm sure they'll be here soon.
But, John...
I hurried on ahead. You see, I... Well, I wanted a chance to talk to you before all the excitement begins.
Oh.
Miss Meg, Mrs. Hatterfield wishes to know who... it's Mr. Edwards.
Yes, Caleb, it's I.
It's all right, Caleb. You can fix Raleigh's breakfast. He'll be here soon and Rita with him.
Oh, Miss Meg, that's splendid news.
Uh-huh.
Miss Meg, I hate to bother you at such a time, but about the electric bill...
Caleb, forget it.
But it's 3 months due, and they threatened
I
to...
said forget it.
Meg, may I...
You may not.
But we'll be in darkness tomorrow, Miss Meg.
Then dig up some candles. Candlelight is fashionable.
Very well. I hope it's fashionable to do without a telephone, too.
Meg, why won't you let me help you?
Please, John, don't even mention it. After all, you're still a stranger. You're only here to get material for your article. It's business.
This morning it was business.
This afternoon?
This afternoon, it's love.
Love?
Meg, where are you? Who rang the bell? What's this doing out there in the hall?
Oh, we better join her.
All right, and if you say so.
Meg, why don't you answer me? Oh, it's you, Mr. Edwards. Well, what were you doing out in the hall so long?
Making love to your youngest daughter, Mrs. Hatterfield.
Splendid. And sit down. Meg, what's the matter with you? Don't look as though he's the first man to make love to you. You are, though, John.
Oh, Mama, darling, please shut up.
Now tell me about Rita.
It's all right, Mrs. Hatterfield. We found her. Raleigh should be here with her any minute now.
Well, I'll have plenty to say to that young lady.
Look, Meg, before the others arrive, I want to ask you something.
Yes?
Will you go to the theater with me tonight? I have two tickets for Hilda Bryant's opening.
For Hilda... Oh, Mama, an opening night.
Of course she'll go. Why not?
Will you, Meg?
Of course she will.
Thanks very much, John. The day started out terribly, but it's going to end up wonderfully, isn't it, Mama?
Providing Raleigh brings Rita home to me. Oh, where are those two? I can't wait to see Rita. I'll take her in my arms and wring her neck.
Raleigh, will you please keep your big mouth shut?
Oh, I shouldn't waste a breath on you. A lot you appreciate all I've done. That's how much gratitude you have, Rita. I wash my hands of you completely.
Oh, my sainted aunt, more dramatic.
If you had seen Mama's face, why, you might as well have struck her.
Well, I'm going home as fast as this taxi can get us there.
If you had seen the disappointment in her eyes.
Raleigh, will you shut up?
To think that you were ready to throw away your career, your happiness, and on what? On an ne'er-do-well, a playboy, a nobody.
On a man with 2 million.
To think that you were ready to... 2 million? Did you say 2 million?
Yes, I said 2 million.
Dollars, you mean?
Yes, Raleigh, I mean dollars.
Great Caesar's ghost, what's the matter with Mama? $2 million. Think of the Shakespearean costumes that would buy.
Think of the bills that would pay.
And there's nothing wrong with Nicky Powers. A splendid person. Charming manners, intriguing personality.
Oh, my sainted Aunt Raleigh, which side are you on? You're supposed to be dragging me back to Mama, remember?
Oh, yes, of course, yes.
Then stay on your side, will you?
That's how much you appreciate all I've done. Great Caesar's ghost I came tearing down without even stopping for breakfast. Imagine that. I went without my breakfast.
Stupendous sacrifice, darling.
That's right, stupendous.
By the way, I hope you have money for the taxi.
Money? Taxi?
When we get to the penthouse, we'll be expected to pay the fare.
Not we, you.
Now, Raleigh, don't hand me that. You borrowed from John Edwards, didn't you?
It lasted 5 minutes. The doorman caught me on my way out. Something about an old debt.
Well, I haven't anything. I borrowed from John, too, but it went for these orchids.
Orchids?
Could I have eloped without orchids on my shoulder? I'd have felt naked.
I know. I'll give the driver 2 tickets for my performance tonight.
And for a tip, give him your autograph.
Excellent. That will satisfy him. After every performance, the crowds are lined up waiting for a glimpse, begging for the autograph of Roland Hatterfield, America's greatest Shakespearean actor.
Oh, will you stop raving like a ham?
Ham?
Yes, ham.
You dare to call Roland Hatterfield a ham actor?
Yes, I dare.
I don't take that from anyone. And after all I did for you, stopping the elopement, bringing
all
you
right,
home...
All right, you performed your duty nobly. I'm not eloping with Nicky Powers, so forget it.
$2 million. Rita, I'm doing my best to bring you home. But suppose the taxi were to stop for the lights.
Well?
Well, could I help it? Could I be blamed if you were to slip away? Go ahead with the elopement? How could I stop you?
Oh, no, you don't, Raleigh. You're taking me home and that settles it.
That's how much gratitude you have. Throwing away $2 million. All right, Rita. All right. I wash my hands of you completely. Well, Mama, here she is. I dragged the wandering child home. And now, where's breakfast?
Rita.
Caleb, where's breakfast?
Oh, Rita, I'm glad you're back.
I have a great deal to say to you, Rita.
Wait a minute, Mama. Before you start the lecture, let me tell you this. My life's my own, do you understand? And I've a right to do with it as I please. Perhaps the rest of you enjoy being forever broke, but I'm sick of it. I tell you, I'm sick of it.
Rita, please.
You stopped me from eloping with Nicky, Mama, but you can't stop me from seeing him.
Hey,
as a
breakfast.
Matter of fact, I promised Nicky I'd have dinner with him tonight.
Oh, Rita, what am I going to do about you?
Rita, did you say tonight?
Yes, tonight. What of it?
Well, nothing, except that John has two tickets for Hilda Bryant's opening.
May.
And what's all right, John? Rita won't mind learning that you're afraid of her.
Afraid of me?
Taylor!
Wally, will you shut up?
He was too shy to ask you, Rita, but...
Well, I must admit, that's a novelty.
May, what are you...
And remember, Rita, you've always said you hate to have a man feel too sure of you. So it'll do Nicky good if you stand him up.
Maybe it will, it's there.
Caleb, you blundering idiot!
All right, John, it's a date.
Thanks, Rita. That's great. I'm anxious to take you to the opening. Very anxious. As a matter of fact, this is a red-letter day in my life.
John.
Caleb!
Yes, Mr. Raleigh. Yes, here I am with your breakfast.
Well, what is it?
A poached egg, sir.
Poached egg. Take it away.
Now, Raleigh, stop it.
Caleb, how many years have you been with us?
Why, over 15 years, Mr. Raleigh.
Then I should think by this time that you could tell just by looking at me what I want for breakfast.
Just by looking at you, sir?
Certainly. Some mornings you want to say, Mr. Raleigh looks like oatmeal for breakfast.
Yes, sir.
And some mornings Mr. Raleigh looks like toast for breakfast.
And some mornings Mr. Raleigh looks like hash for breakfast.
I understand. And some mornings, Mr. Raleigh looks like ham.
Ham? I look like ham?
Now, Raleigh.
Yeah, go ahead.
But what did I say, sir? Oh, dear, 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 dear.
So we have introduced to you the Mad Hatterfields, a family to which anything can, and usually does, happen. We have every confidence that this family, properly sponsored, will become one of the favorites of the listening audience. The Mad Hatterfields is written by Pauline Hopkins. Produced for Carl Wester and Company by Owen Vinson. Fort Pearson speaking.